Hello, welcome back. Episode 41 of the Power On Retro Gaming Podcast. My name's Scott, and joining with me again is James. How are you, bub, brother?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, going well. Thanks for stopping by again.
Yeah, no worries.
Getting a good system going, aren't we?
We're getting some consistency, and it's feeling good.
It's nice to be pumping out the show, that's for sure, because we've had a few years off. But anyway. Yeah.
What did we work out? It was 7 years altogether trying to do the show, or close to, and we had the last 2 years off.
I think it was like 2015 December is when we sat down at your mum's house and did that episode in person. We did the first, like 5 or 6 in person.
We were smashing out those episodes because you're coming over every second day, and then we'll sit next to that computer.
Yeah, and we just said, like, back then we just have the music, like, pick some gaming music on YouTube and have it up as loud as possible so we couldn't hear each other on the actual recording.
Exactly, which people can listen to every fortnight. A new episode of the old show will drop.
I've seen you been doing that. I actually tried to listen to episode 2. I got pretty much all the way through episode 2 today. It's just funny to sort of, it's like a snapshot of our lives at that time and what we were up to. And it's funny listening back to when we talk about the pickups and stuff, thinking, okay, I got that game, but I still haven't played it yet, which isn't anything new to my collection. But
same here.
Just times have changed so much. You know, we're in that episode, we talk about in episode 2 we talk about F-Zero on Super Nintendo. Yeah, I was playing a little bit of that, and then we say, oh, I wonder if it's on the Switch. But you know, just recently they had the release of the online play for, I think it's like 100 car, what are they, cars? Like spaceships or whatever they are.
Futuristic
like
spaceships.
Yeah, like a hovercraft. So like, there's that now, it's on the Switch. So I guess some of the stuff we predicted or touched on has actually come true.
Have you played it?
No, I haven't. I've literally just set up the Switch yesterday. So maybe.
I was watching some guy play it online just to kind of see, gauge what it was like. And it just looks crazy because, like, in the game, you know, if you hit, like, your car too many times, it can crash out.
To be honest, not really. I mean, I remember the Super Nintendo one, but I don't. I think I played the Game Boy Advance one, and I didn't play any of the others, so I don't really know really much about the lore of it and how it all works. But
get like energy, right? And once your energy is depleted, your car or hovercraft can like crash out, and then that's the end of the race. So it's keys not to hit the walls, and plus you've got like another 100 people on the track hitting you. It looks so crazy. Like, I don't know.
What is it? F-Zero. It's called F-Zero 99. So it's 99 races.
That's correct. Yeah.
The title. Yeah, it's the Super Nintendo style of game.
Yeah.
So that's, and what? So the cars, do they explode over time? Is that what happens?
Yeah, if you deplete your energy, well, you've got to finish the race, right?
Yep.
And you've got to have enough energy in your car without, like, smashing it up, or else the car blows up.
Oh. Well, just reading here, it's got pretty good reviews, so I might have to jump on that. Maybe I'll check it out this weekend.
Yeah.
Not that I know too much about it, but, yeah, cool series, though. Great music. I love it how they've done it with the Super Nintendo one as well.
Yeah.
Because that sort of gets people interested in retro games, and also for the older gamers. For the older gamers, it's fun to go back and, you know, they get the nostalgia of the old series, but also, you know, they're playing something they probably feel familiar with as it's an older game, and the new players are all so easy to adapt to that because it's almost like a mobile game for them, but, you know, racing's racing, isn't it?
That's correct, yep.
Yeah, that's cool. Did we ever get any other characters from F-Zero in Super Smash Bros.?
I believe it was just Falcon. Captain Falcon.
I wouldn't even know. I wouldn't, if you hadn't told me that, I wouldn't even know he's from that game. Like, even when he was in the original, I was like, who is this guy?
Yeah. Unless you played the Super Nintendo, there's not really any standout characters. I'm surprised he made it into the game, I suppose.
So he's profiled in the game?
Yeah, like, he's someone that you can drive the car with.
Yeah,
so
okay.
So he's got, like, a blue car, and it, the way that his character is in Smash Brothers, kind of, like, depicts his color of car as well. So he drives a blue car.
Yep. Okay.
From memory. I hope that's 100% correct, but I'm pretty sure
sounds correct.
Yeah. Sounds anyway. Correct.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess we had that came out. In terms of other games that I'm looking at the moment, it's probably just Super Mario RPG, and I've pre-ordered the Super Mario Wonder game on the Switch as well. So the Switch is probably going to be my go-to for a little while we're getting set up here. But yeah, I got a notification that Wonder is, I'm not sure when it's out. I'm guessing it's soon, but yeah, I got a notification that it's coming out shortly.
I think it comes out the same day as Spider-Man 2.
Oh, okay.
So the 20th. October
20th. Yeah, it is the 20th.
Yep.
Oh, that's the same with Mario RPG as well.
Is it really?
Yeah, so it's going to be a... I think Spider-Man's going to beat it quite easily, but... See, Mario RPG, I'd be keen to play that, but it's just like I've got so much to play. I just don't see myself sitting down and playing that until... You know, that's a game that I'd just drip feed over a couple of years, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's something I'm keen for, but if Wonder's different, then I'm keen for that as well. I'll end up purchasing that. I always purchase those sort of Mario games, but like
digital, so I didn't get the physical.
Yeah,
it's just easier. It's just so much easier to just tap on the screen and go for it rather than changing out the cartridges or trying to find them and then, you know, this, that, and the other. Life's complicated.
It's all about organization, brother. You know where the game is, you just pop it in.
Yes, look, there's pros and cons to both sides of that argument, but you're right, it is easy, but at the same time, it's a lot easier when you're laying in bed and you're like, I can't be bothered walking to the other side of the house to find a game than to get back and realize the console's not even charged. No. Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, look, I haven't, that's the only two things. Oh, and I actually got Mortal Kombat during the week as well, the new one. Played probably about 25 minutes of it, just a couple of arcade rounds, not anything in the story or anything, but just to sort of test it out. It looks great on the Xbox.
Yeah,
cool fighting game.
Was this, did you say Mortal Kombat?
Yeah.
So you're enjoying it?
Yeah, very much so. Well, I mean, I've only, to be honest, the amount I've played, it's almost like I've just sat down and played number 10 again.
Yeah,
because I've just done a couple of, you know, free fights, whatever you call them. Arcade. Yeah, so I haven't, the aspect of 10 and 11 that I liked was the story mode, but this one, I don't know if it's like a complete reboot or if it continues on. I was watching something on YouTube earlier about it, but I'm guessing it's going to link into the other ones somehow. But yeah, it's difficult to play because of the young kids. You know, as I was saying to you on the phone the other day, I don't want to play too much and then my little boy comes out and sees me, you know, my character ripping a spine out or like, you know, breaking someone's pelvis with a stick or whatever it is, but
yeah,
you know, he's got to learn. No, just kidding, but it is a violent game and it's, you know, the time has got to be right. So it's as hard as it is for me to play games anymore now, it's even harder to find a time to play a game like that.
Exactly.
But anyway,
it's rated R. Yeah,
it would have to be. It would have to be. But yeah, it looks great. Those games, they're in development for a long time, so they definitely deliver. 10 and 11 were good, so.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, like I think it's XL, which is like the supersized version of X.
Yep.
But yeah, that's the last one I played, and it was fun.
Good. It was there. Then there was 11, and it had an expansion pack on it as well.
Yeah.
And now this one, so probably worth hanging out and just waiting a year or so until they bring out, you know, an edition that has all the characters and stuff, because it looks like there's a lot of content that is either downloadable or achievable through the game, but not sure how much you have to play to get them. Those days are sort of gone, to be honest. I do believe that will come back at some stage. There will be stuff that isn't accessible from the store. It'll be more that you have to play through it.
Yeah.
I do feel like that will come back at some stage because, I don't know, I just feel that the games, yeah, I don't know. I just have a feeling that people just get, like, they'll miss that feeling. And games will start to include that as a way to get people to play them.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's what I feel anyway. Could be wrong. Probably am. Yeah, okay. But anyway, well, this week I also play a little bit of Spirit Tracks on the DS.
Oh, good man. Yep.
Yes, I popped that sucker back in. Tell you what, though.
How'd you go?
Well, I had no idea what I was doing. And I just hate the fact that you have to use the stylus to control the character. So you have to move it around the screen, which is just ludicrous. Like, what were they thinking? And then to hit an enemy or swipe your sword, you have to swipe the screen. So you've got to sort of stop and then position yourself and quickly swipe. Now, you pick it up pretty easy, and it's not a bad little control method once you get it going, but it is sort of jolted, and you can leave yourself exposed to get hit. So if only it had the analog stick as the control, it would be almost perfect. But yeah, it does let itself down by just having that as the only option.
Good old Nintendo and their peripherals and their special controls to do things.
That whole period with the Wii, and you know, they just wanted to screw everyone over. I was going to drop an F-bomb there, but I'm not even sure we're allowed to.
Yeah, please do not. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, episode 2, you do a bit of swearing, all right? So don't get hard on me.
Do I really?
So, yeah.
Oh, better go back and monitorize that one.
Yeah. I think we're on a G rating here, everybody. But anyway, yeah, so it's... I've played a bit of that. I think I'm up to the Aqua Temple or some nonsense. Pretty cool game. I like that. I like Wind Waker. Really cool game. It's in my top 25, if you're wondering. So, like this one, it's the same little universe as that one. So, the controls are a pain in the ass, but I'm trying to get through it.
That's good. Keep pushing, and I hope you do get through it.
Yeah. The other one I did a little bit of time on this week was, I don't even know the name of it. It's like Dragon Ball Z RPG on the Super Nintendo. It was the one I got that repo card for a while back.
So
I put that in the Superboy and played pretty much maybe 45 minutes of that, just as I was sort of mucking about.
Very good, yeah.
So that was, I think it's called like Super Saiyan Densetsu.
Yeah,
okay. And by I think, I mean I'm reading it off the computer right now. But,
is that Secret of Mana?
No, it's not Secret of Mana. It's Dragon Ball Z. It's the game I was just talking about.
Sorry. I got lost in the word there.
Yeah.
Just trying to...
So, okay, I'll start again. We're playing that Dragon Ball Z RPG game again on this, you know, the one I had the repo cut for?
Yeah, for some reason, I thought you were talking about, you did get the repo cut.
Maybe I
missed you mentioned this last week too, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry.
I was playing, yeah, okay. So now that we've overcome that. I'll let that one go. Anyway, but it's called, I'm pretty sure it's called Super Saiya, which would be Saiyan in Japanese, Densetsu, what that means, I have no idea.
You went to Japanese school, yeah?
Yeah, we didn't learn the word Densetsu. That probably means RPG.
I'm only joking.
I don't know. But anyway, it wasn't released here, so I got a copy and it's translated, and it's a really cool game, cool music, but I played a little bit of that. Gee, it's quite difficult. I kept dying and then... having to go back, and you got to keep training up, so it's like a real game. Yeah, 92. Well, they love their RPG and their grind games in Japan. Yep. So what did I expect? But that it was good to play some Super Nintendo stuff. And as the week went on, I was pulling out boxes to unpack and just sort of putting aside different games that I might like to play now that we're sort of unpacking and moving in a bit more. So looking forward to, you know, like I put out the GameCube. I'm like, wow, like look at the library of these games. You know, there's so many things that I haven't really finished off or played at all. So
it's a good console. Like it really is.
Yeah, the GameCube was awesome.
And
really cool.
The graphics were better than the PS2, the Xbox as well. Like even though the disc was tiny and like it's a weird shape that you carry around, but like really, you come down to it, there's a lot of games on it. It should have done better than it did.
Well, yeah, I think it was... the problem it had, and I felt this, is everyone... because it came out after the Xbox and the PS2, everyone was obsessed at that stage of, you know, adult games.
Yeah.
In terms of shooters. Now, GameCube didn't really have that.
Yeah.
And it was viewed more as... well, I viewed it as almost like a kid's console.
And so did I at the time. I was big on my PS2 then.
Yeah.
And the GameCube came later, but I always enjoyed like going to Dick Smith Powerhouse in Nunawading and playing on that kiosk. I'd be there for hours. Or the Xbox, NBA Drive 2001. Love that. But the GameCube, it always drew me to it. I'm like, purple's my favorite color. And that was the indigo console.
Yeah.
I always wanted it, and yet when I got the GameCube, for some reason I got a black one. Makes no sense.
Well, yeah, I guess. No, I won't go there. But I think there was a limited. Yeah, that's right. There was a very limited release for release of games when it released. There was Luigi's Mansion. I think there was like 3 or 4. Now, I might be wrong here, viewers, but I'm pretty sure there was Luigi's Mansion. I think Super Monkey Ball.
Yeah.
And maybe maybe Wave Race.
Potentially.
Because I just remember going when we had it, or when we first got it, it was so limited to what was out, and everyone was getting Luigi's Mansion. Yeah, well, I didn't know many people that got it, but yeah, I'm pretty sure it was pretty limited in Australia.
Yeah.
But we had I can't even say it. Luigi's Mansion was the first game we had on it. That was awesome.
That was on the kiosk, and I always thought that was pretty cool.
I remember Super Monkey Ball being on the kiosk, so I'm pretty sure that was there. And Wave, yeah, it would have been Wave Race, at least those three, so there might have been more, but the better games like Super Smash Bros., maybe that was why it was so poorly received, because there wasn't, you know, any new Mario game straight away. Or it
took a while for Sunshine to come out.
Yeah, and then Super Smash Bros. And stuff like that. Like, if they had hit the ground running with those on release, maybe it would have sold a few more units.
Yeah.
I just remember having Luigi's Mansion at the time, at our old house when we were growing up, and we were playing it down in this, like, we renovated the home and we're playing it down in the back room, and it was so, because the room was so old. Do you remember that old big rumpus room at the back?
Of course I do.
Yeah, before we renovated it, it wasn't insulated. It had an old tin roof, and it was just freezing cold in there, and we had this.
Really? I thought it was always there like that.
Well, probably was the time. Look, we only renovated it towards the end, but anyway, back in the, when we've got the GameCube, we're talking about 2002?
I don't know.
So we're in this room. There's a gas heater that just pumps out pure, you know, carbon monoxide. You know, it's like the roof's leaking. There's, you know, a possum stuck in the wall. And it was just so eerie playing Luigi's Mansion because it's very, you know, creepy. And the bedroom was creepy, and like the lights kept going off. And I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. But yeah, talk about a good introduction to that game. Yeah. It's a game I actually finished too, surprisingly. And I beat the second one, and I'm yet to start the third, so
the third one I absolutely loved, and I have not played the second one on the 3DS, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, 3DS.
I think it's coming out on the Switch.
Then, yeah.
Did I read that somewhere?
I hope so. I'm not sure if you did, I hope. I'll play it. I should play it on... I'm pretty sure I've got it. You know, I've got a lot of games that I don't know if I've got or not. But I never beat the first one, which I should do because it's like sitting right behind me right now.
Well, beat the first one. The second one is like levels. And yeah. I actually, a bit of trivia for it, I beat that on the 2DS. It was the first game I beat on the 2DS. So there you go.
There you go.
People are using them. Yeah, so I beat that. But yeah, the second one was... it's much the same, so it's the same formula. It's fun, but it is levels, and you have to play through the whole level, and it can get a bit tricky. There was one boss in particular where I just really couldn't work out how to, you know, how you sort of have to initiate the sucking with the vacuum, and you have to do something to with the light to spark it. I couldn't work it out for ages, and I'm watching videos on YouTube. I'm like, how are they doing this? And then it just came to me one day, and I was like, yep. Yeah, so.
Fair enough.
Games, mate.
Once you work out what needs to happen in like a boss battle, you're struggling with it for so long, and then it just clicks, and you're like, this is how you're going down.
The world is your lobster, as I say.
Rock lobster.
Perhaps. On that, has there ever been a game that you've been playing and you're just stuck and you're going, how do I do this, you know? I've tried 1,000 times, and then one day you just go back to it and you do it in the 1 second. You're like, yep, done. See ya.
Yeah, probably a lot of games.
No, but I'm talking like stuck for ages. Like for me, it was those Super Mario Land that haunted. Is it Super Mario World?
Yeah, Super Mario World, where you're not sure which door to go through. Sort
of like you got to do the sequence of, you know, up, downs, and then go through the right door, and then all of a sudden you're at the end.
Yeah.
That one of those, I was just couldn't do it. I just didn't know what to do. And then all of a sudden, and then one day I just did it. There's a big arrow pointing on which way to go. And I'm like, yep, done. See ya.
I know the level.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like nothing is coming to my head, but yeah, one of those ones definitely, like, I wouldn't say it took me forever, but it took me a couple of days to come back to it. And then you're like, as soon as you do it, you just get that feeling, that sensation, like, of accomplishment.
Well, I don't know if you ever played Advance Wars.
I have not.
Yeah, so I played a lot of that. And I remember Eric saying to me once, a good friend of mine, you know, if you're ever stuck on a level, just sort of take a few days off and come back to it and you'll just be a pro.
Yeah.
He was right. Like, I just, if I was stuck and I couldn't get past the level, I'd just put it down for a couple of days. And the next couple of days later, I'd try it and just smash it out. I'm like, wow, maybe just sometimes you just need a break.
Is Advance Wars on the Advance? Was it on the GameCube?
I know it's hard to believe, but yes. No, well, actually, it is on the GameCube. There's a separate title, which isn't related to the two on the GBA. And then there's one on the DS. Actually, is there two on the DS? There's two on the DS. One was sort of a bit of a reboot, and then there's the continuation from the first two.
Yep.
Oh, actually, no. I think there's one on the GBA.
I think there's two. I think there's two.
Yeah, there is two. And there's one on the two on the GBA... One on the 3DS.
Yep.
No, that's wrong. Two on the GBA, one on the DS, and then another one on the DS, which I think it's called Dark Worlds or something. It's not related. And then there's one on the GameCube.
Well, there you go.
There might be one on the Wii. I don't know. And now they've released it on the Switch as a remake, which I haven't got because those games just cause so much anxiety that they are tough.
Yep.
But they were fun at the time. Speaking
of anxiety, I just want to talk about right there, because it's a good crossover, the retro game that I was playing this week. Now, it's the only game I've been playing this week since I beat Sea of Stars, which I highly recommend. Spider-Man 2 on the PS1, Enter Electro. Now, I was playing on probably medium mode, found it quite difficult at first. It felt real different tone and kind of handling feeling of the first one, because they changed from Neversoft to Viscarious Visions or whatever they're called, so a new developer.
Yep.
And it just felt different. It was just like, you know, Spider-Man was like alone, like he was just the only guy versing all these bad guys, while in the first one, I'm not sure if you remember, like, you'd see, like, Black Cat, you'd see Daredevil show up, you'd see Captain America, you'd see a lot of humor was in the game.
Yeah.
Not so much in this one, it was more straight to it, just a bunch of different bad guys coming at you. When I was playing it, I was getting the first guy, who was it? It was Shocker. I got to the warehouse, is the first bad guy that you got to beat. Yep. I found the controls so tedious to swing my web and pull down these crates. And when I finally beat it, it took me like over an hour to just beat this stupid level because I kept dying and the warehouse kept blowing up. Like I got to the save point, right? And I'm like, yes. Because in the first one, there was more save options.
Yep.
This one, I made a big rookie mistake here. I went to save the game on my PS2 memory card.
Mm.
Doesn't allow you to. It's a PS1 game.
Mm.
And then I'm thinking, maybe it's the memory card. So I went on Amazon and I purchased another PS2 memory card. It's like $10. It was like one of those OEM ones. Left the console on overnight because I didn't want to play those levels again and beat Shocker again.
Yep.
Because it was stressing me out. Yes. Then it came, the memory card got delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Chucked it in. Same issue. Wouldn't save. I was like, oh. I'm like, I don't really want to leave my console on for another night.
Just leave it on for good. Play through the whole game.
I tried to do that. Yeah, like I got over it for a point. I'm like, I need to save, and then I can't continue playing this forever. Anyways, I ordered another memory card, but a PS1 one.
Yep.
I'm like, I'll play as much as I can. And I'm like, nah, I got to a point, beat a few levels, I was getting anxious. I just wanted to get through the game all in one sitting.
Yep.
And then I'm like, maybe I can just cancel the memory card or just keep it because there's more games I'll play and I'll want to save it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you do it?
I turned off the console and I'm like, the memory card came in the next day and then I tested it. It all worked fine. I'm like, it's the memory card. So if anyone listening there, you want to save a PS1 game to a PS2 memory card, it does not work. You need a PS1 memory card on a PS2 console. But
how do you not have a PS1 memory card?
Don't even know where my PS1 is. I have no idea what happened to it.
Don't you have one in the box? You've got 50 of everything.
Yeah, I actually don't have a PS1.
Does he?
I did have a PS1.
Yep.
And this was one that I picked up from a garage sale years ago, but didn't work. And I have no idea what happened to my personal PS1 because I never got rid of it. No idea what happened to it. I really don't know. But I ended up beating this Spider-Man 2 game on the PS1 just today. And
oh, good.
I've been working at it a couple of hours.
Dreams come true.
30 minutes here and there, every day since it was Tuesday when I said to myself, you're going to start from the start and you're going to beat this game. And I did. And I'm happy about it.
Good. Was it a long game? I suppose a PS1 game would be about 6 hours.
No, probably 3 hours, I suppose.
No, is that all? Jeez.
But, it's just because it wasn't on the easiest difficulty. The stupid controllers are, you push one way and then it doesn't do it something. And then you try and throw a crate and it just goes straight into a pole that you weren't even aiming that way. And it's there's a reason why the first game was made by Neversoft and it got such good reviews, and this one did not because they changed developer. But I came that far that I had to beat it.
Well, at least you got a good story out of it.
I did. The whole memory card, but I got a memory card that works and I can save and start playing some other PS1 games.
How many Peter Parkers out of 5 would you give it?
Peter Parkers? I would give it... Look, I did enjoy it for what it was. 3 out of 5 Peter Parkers.
That's a good Peter Parker rating.
Yeah.
Well, I wish I had a game that I'd completed recently so I could give you a Peter Parker score on it, but sorry, no, not today. Maybe next week. On episode 42 of the Power On Retro Gaming Podcast. Okay. No, but look, I don't really even think I have anything on the horizon. I might be able to knock over the new, Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, but there's so many expansions. It's still getting updated, so there's more content. I think recently there was more content added as well, so...
that's good.
That's if I get a chance. Literally just moved in today, back today, so we'll see what happens. Plenty of models to make, too. Got a giant Broly that I rolled up. It's massive, man. It's probably the box is probably up to my waist.
Yeah.
So I'll be putting that together. Stay tuned, Instagram. But
new statue for your Instagram page?
Maybe. Yeah. It might get on there.
Yep.
Pretty good chance it will. But we're going to put that together. Sort of screwed myself over a little bit because I've got a terrible system of organizing at the moment. I've almost boxed myself into the room with nowhere to put anything to make others to move them out of the way and that sort of stuff. And there's this big print that's, nothing related to anything we were talking about, but yeah, just me being me trying to store things and move things around.
Fair enough.
Anyway, I want to get the Wii U out. I really do. I want to get the Wii U set up so I can continue some of the games that I was playing on that, because that's one of my favorite consoles and I really just love it. I don't know why. It was probably just one of the first consoles that I actually bought outright. Yep. All the other consoles throughout my life were ever gifted to me at Christmas or something like that, or I got a second hand one or something like that. But the Wii U was the first console. I was just like, yep, I was going to travel down to the store and get one, and I did, and it's awesome. So
good.
And I really want to play Star Fox on it because I played through it once, and I thought it was really cool. And I think that's a game that hasn't got you know, enough people talking about it. And I know there's a lot of talk about all the Wii U stuff is on the Switch, but that game's not on the Switch, so...
That is very true.
But that game is awesome. The last boss is not possible, and it's stupid, and I quit on it. Leading up to that, it's just like Lalat was from the 64, and it's well worth a playthrough, because I remember playing it and thinking to myself, I was laughing out loud, because I was like, this is just, it's just Star Fox 64 again. It's okay. Fantastic. So, have you got it?
I do. Never played it.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
It does not.
After all these memory card issues, you know. check it out. Do yourself a favor.
I'll have to. Someone else was recommending me Pikmin 4 on the Switch also. That's something I've got to check out too.
Name this person.
I'll find it in like 5 minutes. Continue talking.
What do you mean you'll find it?
Well,
was it an online person?
Yeah.
Oh, like, so it's not just bloody Angus or something.
That's not just Angus.
Have you played any of the Pikmins?
I played.
You're
going to
start on number four. You are the worst at this. You like play a collection backwards, and you get angry at me. Not that you do, but you know, I go back like right to the start. I'm like, no, I'm not going to play anything until I beat the first one. You're like, I'll start at number 10. Yep. I'll work my way back. They get worse as they go down. Yeah, no shit, because they're working it out as they get. Because we're gonna get that. Yeah, but you know what I mean. It's just start at number one.
Yep.
And go from there.
Okay.
Says me who bit Paper Mario Color Splash first.
Exactly. Yeah. So, well, 1,000 Year Door. That was the first one I played.
Yeah, that doesn't count. But anyway, I did go back and try and beat the 64 one on the Wii U. So I know I should have played it on the 64, but you know how expensive it is.
I do. It's money. Very expensive game.
Yeah. One day. I'm about halfway through it, so give me a chance.
All right, will do.
All right, well, that's great. So what are you going to play this weekend?
This weekend? Yeah. I have no idea. Actually, I have just started another retro game, which I'll probably discuss on next week's show. Let's just see how we go, because I might get over it real quick. But I did start playing Spider-Man on the PS5. Like the remastered version.
Oh, well, the latest one.
Yeah, the one that.
Let it go.
Like, I've already beaten it.
I know.
But I wanted to play it again to, you know, refresh me for the game that comes out in, 14 days? So we'll see how far we get.
You didn't need to refresh it. You should have just come straight off the back of the Spider-Man 2 debacle into. The second Spider-Man in the new series, and you would have been like, wow, autosave, what's that? How many Peter Parkers would you give the first one?
Oh, 5 out of 5.
5 out of 5 what?
Peter Parkers.
Yeah, it was a very good game.
Yeah, like when it came out, I platinumed it, bought the DLC, which I never do. Unless I really love the game, and Horizon Zero Dawn, I think I did that as well.
I've never done it, but yeah.
did it once.
Yeah.
And then a few times. Yeah. Things. Platinum that, and then Miles Morales came out. I platinum that as well. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I'm really excited for this new one.
Okay. Well, I hope
fulfills everything.
Well, did they change developers?
No, it's still Insomniac.
It's going to be good then.
Of course it is. It's Insomniac. They do my beloved Ratchet and Clank. You know how much I love that series?
Yeah, I was playing the first one, because that's what I do, on the Vita.
Oh, were
you? Yeah. I don't know. I was thinking about it today, and I'm like, the characters are a bit boring. Not Ratchet and Clank themselves, all this, like, the NPCs.
Yeah, like, the first one... Well, once again, they're trying to figure themselves out.
Well, it's just like, I guess, like Western games aren't as colorful in terms of their character development. They're very, you know, I don't know.
Like, are we talking about like?
Compared to like a Japanese RPG, they're not as. I don't know if it's like zany is even a word, but that word they just don't seem to be as like out there. They're more just like, oh, it's a pig and he's a mechanic. And he wears an eye patch. You know what I mean? Like,
that's pretty zany.
I suppose it is. That's very zany.
Yeah, exactly.
The zaniest thing I've ever heard is a big mechanic. I don't know. What are we even talking about?
I don't know, mate.
Okay. Well, let me know how it goes. The 20th of October, it's a big day for gaming.
It is, and
you've got 14 days to beat as many Spider-Man games as possible.
I know.
And if that Super Nintendo game you're talking about is a Spider-Man game, I don't want to hear about it.
It's not. Don't worry.
Good.
And, yeah, what's unfortunate, that I won't even get to play Spider-Man on the 20th.
Why?
My wedding anniversary.
Well, you could ask for it for your wedding anniversary.
I could, but I think we're going out for a nice dinner, which I'm actually looking forward to.
I went to your wife's birthday on my wedding anniversary. You can play 20 minutes of
Spider-Man.
I'm sure you can fit in, you know, at least do the update. Do yourself a favor.
I will. As soon as work is done for the day, I will go purchase it.
Where are you going for dinner?
I don't know. Some Indian place. Enjoy a good curry.
Oh, God. Okay. you're a funny guy. Okay, well, we have a very special guest.
Yep.
This evening. An old friend of the show, I think from, when would he have come on?
Banjo-Kazooie. I think we talked about that, yeah, Banjo-Kazooie. Right.
Yep. Let's welcome to the show our good friend Jono to talk about some comics. All right, let's welcome back to the show our very special friend of the show. That's Jono, fresh off Banjo-Kazooie. How are you, mate?
I've been going for the past 10 years, so I haven't finished it.
Well, we just cannot wait to hear what you've got to say about Banjo-Tooie, that's for sure. And Banjo-Pilot, the game that never was. No, look, welcome back, firstly. It's good to have you back.
Been a while between drinks.
Yeah, what's happened? Been about, 3 years since you've been on? Has anything happened significant in your life?
Besides having a child, still playing Banjo, and that's about it, really.
The Banjo, no.
Yeah, I've learned. I gave up Banjo-Kazooie, and I'm learning how to play the banjo.
Yeah, it's probably easier than the last boss.
Mm, true.
Maybe. Look, yeah, we've got you on today to talk about some comics. You know, one of the biggest unsolved mysteries. What are they? What's it all about? You know, what does comic even mean?
Do I not even get intro music?
Well, I don't know. The B-52s, are they still together? We were lucky enough to get the B-52s to record the old intro, so we were very lucky. I reached out to them via WhatsApp, and they said they'd gladly do the intro in the theme of to the theme of Rock Lobster, but using
Power On
lyrics, which were made up on the spot in a backstreet in Doncaster. Yeah, but anyway, that's not.
I heard they're the B-51s now, isn't that right?
I don't know. Are they?
I don't know. Carry on.
Okay, leave the jokes to me. Anyway, so comics. What are you reading, my man?
A few going on at the moment. I had a bit of a lull for a while there, but I've gotten back into it probably since I spoke to you last. I'm not collecting, I guess you could say, physical comics anymore because my house is overrun with children's toys now, and they're not my toys.
Classic.
So I've converted onto the old digital comics, which is actually pretty cool.
Yeah. Kind of,
it's an opportunity just to see what's out there and not have to go to the comic book store, and it's actually finding to be a bit of a cheaper exercise.
Well, it makes sense from a collector, and you know, it makes sense also in terms of reading them that you can sort of have them open on a device and come back to them. And also, I find anything physical that you sort of cherish or want to look after, having kids around, it's almost like they're just drawn to anything that has any value to you, and they want to. It's like, you know, Terminator. They just were like the comic is John Connor, and the kid is the Terminator, and they've been sent back in time to exterminate it and somehow end up, you know, a series of films that were highly successful in the 80s. Yeah, but look, I've moved to digital games, like we was just speaking about, and yeah, I don't blame you for moving to digital comics.
Yeah, and as much as people don't want to support things like Amazon, given their stance, I don't know.
Oh, not Papa, he's on there all the time.
No,
it's a bloody memory card debacle, let me tell you.
I love Amazon. I signed up to Amazon Kindle Unlimited as well, yeah. Which is like $13 a month or something, and they got like heaps of, I guess you could say they're free, but not really. But you know, like we have thousands of titles that you can jump on and download. So like I'm reading things that I probably wouldn't usually pick up at the comic book store either. So
that's
pretty good to open up the old mind of a few different genres of comics.
Yeah. So what's some of the titles? Like what's, you know, like obviously
what's popular DC. These days?
Well, you're a big DC man, you're not a Marvel man.
Yeah, I've tried to get into Marvel a little bit more just because it's free. So yeah, I've been reading a bit of Spider-Man and trying to get into some X-Men stuff, but I definitely am still a DC man at heart. Batman's always my go-to, so like I've been reading a Batman and Robin series by a pretty famous comic book writer, Grant Morrison.
Mm-hmm.
And in those ones, it's obviously Batman and Robin, but kind of the backstory is Batman, you know, supposedly dies in a battle against a villain called Darkseid, and then Dick Grayson, who is the OG Robin, takes over the mantle of Batman.
Okay.
And then the mantle of, I don't know why I've said mantle twice, I've never said that more than once in my
real life. That's right. I was enjoying it. I was hoping to hear it again. There's still time.
Yeah. There is still time. The mantle of Robin is taken up by Damian Wayne. So in comic book folklore, he is the son.
Ra's al Ghul. Talia.
Yeah, Talia al Ghul and Bruce Wayne. So
Robin becomes Batman and Batman becomes Robin.
No, Batman's actual, I guess it's like his bastard kid pretty much, becomes Robin. So I think there's four volumes of that one. I'm up to volume three. I really enjoyed volume one and two. And the third one, I mean, I'm enjoying it, but like there's this weird section where it's almost like an alternate timeline. And there's like a Batman and Robin from like medieval times that come to help. It's a bit strange.
Cool.
Yeah, like Robin's like a court jester kind of, I don't know, version of Robin. So,
jeez.
But now Grant Morrison as a writer is known for being a little bit out there in terms of what he writes with like regular DC folklore. So
when he's had his afternoon tablet, it gets a bit weird.
Yeah.
So what if they're in medieval times and, you know, Batman's a court jester?
Yeah. But like some of these comics, unless you're really like into, I guess, like the origins of a lot of the characters, like if you pick it up for the first time, you might be like, what the hell is this all about? So. Yeah. It's probably one of those ones you got to be a big fan for.
Mm.
But like in terms of non-DC stuff, like I try to read non-DC stuff as well. Like, so there's a company called Image Comics, which is, they call it like the creator comic book company. So it's like for a lot of comic book writers that I guess don't write for DC and don't write for Marvel or, you
is
know,
that
don't.
Where McFarlane and what's his name and. Yeah, McFarlane, didn't he start that with a bunch of two other guys?
Yeah, it was the original company was started by like seven independent comic book writers that were basically like stuff DC and Marvel. We want to kind of do our own creation stuff. So they started their own comic book company.
Yeah, McFarlane, Jim Lee, and I can't remember the other guy.
Yeah. So I really like a lot of the stuff that they output. Like a lot of my physical comics are from those guys.
Yep.
And like one of my favorite comic duos, writer drawer duos, is Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips, and they do a lot of like crime noir kind of comics. They do like the famous series called Criminal, which is really cool, but they pump out new ones kind of like two or three a year in that kind of genre. And I just read one they released last year called Pulp.
Yep.
Which I mean, long story short, it's like
set about in orange night. Juice.
Yeah, it's the
that joke's definitely been said out loud before.
They do either crime noir or like westerns. A lot of it's related to crime. Yeah, this one's like set in the 1930s, about like a writer who writes like crime short stories. I kind of call it like a Red Dead meets 1930s crime noir.
Yeah.
It's kind of Western themed, I guess. So,
and then he gets scurvy.
Yeah, that's another one that I've picked up recently.
Did you get or have you read Berserker, whatever it's called, like Keanu Reeves backed the project?
No, I have not.
Yeah, it came. I picked up the first issue when it came out like a couple of years ago, but I think they went through it like it's still ongoing, I'm pretty sure.
Is it through? There's a company that does a lot of like crossover stuff. I think, Scotty, we've looked at comics that are like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Never heard of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The green rats. Is that what they are?
Karate Frogs. Yeah, they seem to do a lot of crossovers with turtles.
Is that Dark Horse?
Dark Horse or Dynamite. Mirage? I think Dynamite Comics.
It's Mirage.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the Dark Horse, they recently released the Turtles cross Stranger Things, which is like a weird concept. I actually picked up issue one of that too recently. I thought, like, how does this happen? Haven't read it.
How does that happen?
I have no idea. I'm yet to read it.
Oh.
I get a bit, I don't know if I'm into like movie or TV IP creating comic books out of it. Like, there's a lot of Star Wars stuff out there as well. And I don't know, it hasn't quite hooked me in yet.
I got the Turtles and Batman crossover and I framed it.
Yeah.
The first issue, I framed it.
Yeah, that's good. They made that into a movie too, and they've got like figures you could buy. Yeah.
Anything for a buck these days.
Oh, mate, get on it.
Yes.
But the other big stuff that's going on in comic book world, Mark Miller, which I assume you guys know Mark Miller, Kick-Ass, Wanted. I'm going to forget heaps of stuff here. Kingsman.
Sorry. I know his brother who played for the Cavs. Mike Miller.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
That's obscure.
You like that one, Papo? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, carry on, Jono. Sorry, I'll just shut up in the next 20 minutes.
He's got a big crossover event happening with, like, all of his comics called Big Game. He's got a lot of titles that haven't been made into movies or TV shows, but they're, like, in development. But yeah, he's got a big crossover at the moment, which has like all of his comic books together. I haven't read it yet. I've got it downloaded on the iPad, ready to go. Yeah, that's called Big Game, that one.
Okay.
And it's like an endless well of just comics that they can make movies out of, isn't it?
Yeah, and especially if they're not down like the traditional superhero path. Like,
well, what was that show that became really popular? Omni-Man? No, Omni-Man, is that it? Is that a thing? No.
Omni-Man.
I have no idea what that is.
It's called like...
Omni-Man.
That might be the name of one of the characters, but it's sort of like...
Is it on Amazon?
It might well be, yes.
Are you talking about The Boys?
No, I'm not talking about The Boys.
Oh.
I'm talking about that show with the guy who's like, hello.
You're talking about Invincible.
I am. Correct. Yes.
Yeah,
for us in the know, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? No, just kidding. No. I have no idea. But look, yeah, that comic was pretty... independent, wasn't it, and got picked up and now it's super popular.
Yeah, and they got like heaps of issues of it, almost like too many.
Oh, I thought it was over. That's good to know.
Yeah, and then the only other one I've kind of picked up recently is there's another fairly well-known comic book writer in the universe called Scott Snyder, who does
he had a run Batman,
and he's I think he did some X-Men stuff as well potentially. He's got like an exclusive contract with that comic company, Comicology, or I think that's how you say it.
Okay.
But yeah, one of his ones that he released fairly recently is called Undiscovered Country, and it's like set in the future where like the USA is like segregated itself from the world, like after a deadly virus, and the only way to like access the middle of the USA is to go through like this different world maze. Like, it's pretty out there.
Sounds pretty interesting.
Huh? Yeah, it's like dystopian, and they got like, I don't know how to describe it, like aliens that are half alien, half human kind of thing.
Cool.
Sounds pretty cool.
But yeah,
it's Snyder, he's done it again.
It's, I was waiting for some other like random sports tie in there.
Oh dear.
Sorry, I'll try and figure something.
So, before you moved over to digital comics, where did you go purchase them from previously?
I used to purchase a lot from, oh my God, Book Depository, like, you know, the website based out of the UK, which I think Amazon actually owns now.
They own everything, don't they?
Yeah.
The UK.
Scotty and I used to... Scotty and I used to go down. What's that place in Bayswater we used to go?
Alternate Worlds.
Yeah, we used to go there.
Thanks, Scott.
Are we using different names on this thing?
Yeah, I'm going by James now. So
okay.
Yeah, we used to go there. Well, we went there, what, twice? Maybe even once?
Yeah, maybe even once.
Maybe never went there. But no, it's pretty good. I think it's still open. Because I know Comics R Us is shut in Ringwood, and a few others have shut down. Even Minotaur's moved, and that was the last comic store I went to. But Alternate Worlds had sort of like pretty big manga collection and figurines and all sorts of jazz.
It's still operating. I go there still when I go down to Bayswater. Like, I purchased the whole TMNT Last Ronin series. So I've got like all, that's probably the last main six issues I bought. That wasn't like a paperback. And that was from Alternative Worlds. But now I go to myself. I go to the one in Beaconsfield near me. It's called Secret Headquarters. It's pretty good.
Oh, doesn't sound like a comic book shop to me.
Doesn't. Keep it secret. Keep it on the down low.
sorry, I got nothing there. But yeah.
I actually bought a fair whack when I went to Canada. Like, I don't know. 6-7 years ago, I was in Toronto and I found like a little comic book shop, and because the dollar, like the Aussie dollar versus the Canadian dollar, so good at the time. It's kind of sporadic every now. There's another comic book shop on Chapel Street. I think it's another Comics R Us.
Yeah, I think it's the only one that's left now.
Yeah, used to go there occasionally if I had some spare time.
Well, that's out near you anyway, so it's probably the closest one for you.
They're a bit of a dying breed.
You'd think there'd be more of them, being that Marvel movies are so popular. But that's just me.
You, like
my crazy ideas.
No. Free Comic Book Day, which I went to the one in Beaconsfield. There was this person who travelled with their kids all the way from Phillip Island all the way to Beaconsfield just for Free Comic Book Day. I thought that was insane.
What is that day about?
They have dedicated comics, so they have like a range. So I actually picked up like an Uncanny Adventures, which was free, and I also picked up a Turtles comic, and it just says Free Comic Book Day on it. They're just complimentary.
Yeah, they're all like single issue comics, though, aren't they, Beppo?
It's just for like kids and whatnot, or whoever, just to try a comic book. If they like it, they'll come back.
Yeah, I think that was the intention of it from like the industry. Like, how can we get people into it?
Excited.
Yeah.
It is a sort of niche market now. It seems like people 30 plus are very into it, but the youngers maybe not so much. But that's coming from someone who has absolutely no idea.
I think there's, from what I gather, like when I follow Secret HQ on Facebook, or when I go in there, or I go into the Bayswater store at Alternate Worlds, there's still a very broad range of people. Like, you'll see people in their teens still going there, kids as well, and clearly your people are in your 20s, 30s and 40s still buying comic books.
Minotaur, I did notice when I was in there the other day, downstairs is just dedicated to comics. There was nobody down there. But the middle level, or the ground level, was all the manga, and it was packed out. And this is on a weekday, like not even school holidays or anything. It was just busy.
Oh.
So I guess that has become so popular now.
Well, manga's huge with more people than it was, just say, like 5-10 years ago.
Yeah, now. It's really taken off. It's really taken off.
My wife's like, how much do I reveal here? My wife's niece. She's like 13, 14, and like one of her hobbies is like drawing manga and drawing anime. And it's just like, it's really
get her on the show.
No, yeah, it's just like, well, I mean, she's not somebody that I would have picked to be really into that kind of stuff, but there's obviously a following amongst her and her friends or her age group that are like,
yep. Yeah, it's big. It's definitely taken off, that's for sure.
But they never really experienced the waking up cheese TV watching Dragon Ball Z before school. we all went through.
Like 20 years younger than us, but yeah, the same time that show went off the air like 20 years ago. Yeah, no, I know what you mean though. They just watch it on probably Crunchyroll or
what? Crunchyroll? What is that?
Yeah, it's a streaming service.
Which I almost mispronounced. We might have to beep that out, but it's just got all this, basically any show, any anime that's been made is pretty much on it. Yeah, it's just like Netflix, but it's just anime.
Yeah, like I think the big thing in like at least from a comic community now is like for years, I guess comic book nerds to a degree were like, this is our thing, and then it became so mainstream, and then they probably end up in conversations with people that have like a baseline knowledge of the characters and the stories, and they're just like, this is...
Yeah, I think it was, you're right, there was a time when sort of Big Bang Theory was on TV and geeks were really cool all of a sudden, you know? Yep. And then around the time Donald Trump got into presidency, it was like, no, the jocks are still cool. All that sort of disappeared, so... But yeah, I guess it has sort of been a very niche thing. But the movies have brought it into a mainstream market.
Yeah.
You know, now everyone knows all the characters because they've seen the movies and they're super popular.
Yeah, and I guess the one thing in like my comic book journey, like, you know, I got into Batman really early and I feel like I read through all the different kinds of stories for Batman. So like now I'm less like, and same for like Superman and a few of the other sort of really popular ones. I'm probably less likely now to pick up one of those comics because I'm like, how many different ways can you talk about the same character? So like I try to expand into other genres within comics now, stuff that I probably wouldn't traditionally. Really?
Well, it's interesting because I was actually asking someone about that the other day because he was talking about the number of volumes, and I was saying, like, is that just ongoing? So, like, Spider-Man 1, when that came out, whatever year that was, is the current issue of Spider-Man the same storyline from that 90, no. whatever it was? Or no. do they just sort of stop no, and then they, start again?
They've got, like, yeah, kind of. But
depends on the company, really.
Yeah, I know with Batman, like, they've changed it multiple times or they've rebooted it, like, the new 52 with Schneider.
Mm.
They rebooted, like, how things went. Like, I've got a bunch of the hardcovers.
They almost do, like, a yearly run and then they essentially change all the writers. And
okay, start again.
Yeah, and they cycle a brand new story.
I was going to say, like, how would they explain the 40-year... difference in time, you know, like Spider-Man's in a nursing home.
Yeah, it's almost like they treat it like an alternate, you know, timeline to a degree.
Yeah, does that get frustrating as a reader? Do you get involved in a storyline, then all of a sudden it just wraps and they reboot it?
It can become difficult if you like want to start reading DC as an example, and you're like, where do I start? It's really hard to kind of pick a point that, you know, you can understand all the origins, because then they do a massive crossover like Infinite Crisis and then everything changes and then there's another comic book run and it goes across seven different characters. So you have to read seven different, you know, lots of volumes across different characters. And then they're like, okay, let's do Flashpoint. So like the latest Flash movie was based off the comic Flashpoint.
Mm.
Yep.
And the whole thing of Flashpoint is essentially like going back in time, stuffing everything up and then resetting the timelines. And then out of that, you know, they did another one called like Darkest Night, which was, you know, another reset for the universe. And then as Partho said, the new 52, that was another one. And then they did Rebirth after that. And then there's probably another one right now that I'm probably not up to scratch with. But
so there's a lot going on.
Yeah, it's really hard to kind of just find a point to jump in. You kind of have to just be like, this is this particular block of this character that I'm reading about. And then
yeah, so I just got to jump in and start to get into it, work your way into it.
Yeah, like if you decided, hey, I want to read Batman from issue one, I wouldn't even know right here, right now how to
find
issue one and then read them in consequential order.
Well, that's the thing, because like with a, like say One Piece, right, it's been going forever, but you can go and get episode, you can go get volume one and that's number one. Whereas Batman, it's like, didn't it start out as like Detective Comics and then it was like, you know, there's all different types of Batmans and yeah, it's just nuts. Whereas like, yeah, I guess that's why it's different for manga. It's almost like it's easier for people just to make a start because they go, okay, I'll just go and buy number one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I pretty much treat DC and Marvel now that if I want to read a offshoot, almost like a short story of one of their characters, like that's what you do.
Yep.
And if you want to read like a series from start to finish, that's where you go to like Image or Dark Horse or Valiant Comics, and you can actually like read issue one, go all the way through.
Okay.
So it can be an expensive hobby if you want to make it an expensive hobby.
It does seem like a lot of the stuff we see on Netflix and things like that are based off unknown comics, which then become known a little bit.
Yeah, a lot of them generally, a lot of them generally have like a pretty good following within like the comic book community, almost like a cult following to a degree. Like The Boys has a super cult following, but the TV series, like I've only read the first two volumes of The Boys. And it's not exactly like, it's not like for like.
Well, I thought The Boys, the comic, the show was set like halfway through the comic.
Yeah. So like I watched The Boys and then I read volume one and I'm like, where the hell are all the characters from the TV show?
Yeah.
And like a couple of them are like loosely based off the comic.
Yep.
But like, I love the TV show. Like I think it's great.
Yep.
So it's kind of, but that's because I probably follow the style that the book's like written in.
Yep. Right.
And like even like some of Mark Miller's stuff, like Kick-Ass is pretty close to the comic. Kingsman's pretty close to the comic. So like it really depends on how true they want to be. Like Watchmen is almost like page for page of the comic book.
Yeah, that's my favorite movie. They it's funny because it's I think they did that storyboard was based off the pages of the comic. And even then, they did change the ending for it, but still a cool series.
Then the Watchmen TV show is
different.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with the comics at all.
Yeah, I don't even... Did that take off? I didn't
watch it. It was pretty popular. I probably got through like half the series. They're just like long-ass episodes, and you're like, oh, yeah. It's really dedicated to it.
Yeah. No, I think that was... that was a really good film. Good movie.
Yeah. Anyway, I could go on and on about this universe of comics, probably.
That's all good. It was good to have you on the show for a bit of a comic talk and a good segment.
Happy to be on anytime, boys. I'm always always reading.
Well, book us in for 2026 at 8 p.m. on a Wednesday, and we'll get you back on. All right, well, that'll do us for today.
So... you can find the show if you want to listen to it on all platforms. You can find it on Apple. You can find it on Spotify. You can find it on Amazon and Google. And you can also find Scooter on Melbourne Retro on Instagram. And you can find Power On Retro Gaming on Facebook and Instagram also. And we'll be bringing this show to you every fortnight with some catch-up episodes of started the show from back in 2016 to about 2019, and I'll try and release those every fortnight. Power on.